Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Under the Helmet Podcast. We are 2 days away from the Midwest Series AAA National Championship between the Crescent City Kings and the Cincinnati 82 Chargers. To join us, Rico Pritchard, got BJ, and got Coach. First question is to BJ.
Okay.
BJ, how does the Midwest Bowl Series differ from other championship series?
Okay, so the Midwest Bowl Series was started in 2010 as a way I wanted to give teams opportunities to make it to the national championship. It's so hard to get there. There's some teams out there that have won their conference or lost in the, their conference championship, and wanted to give them an opportunity to play another, game or two in postseason play to raise their standings, so then that way they have a chance at the national championship. And so that's what we did in 2000, 11, 12. And we were able to do that. We sent the Detroit Eagles to the national championship game. We sent the West Michigan Force to the national championship game. Tri-State Sharks in 2012, I believe, to the national championship game. And then the Cincinnati Hawks in 13 and 14. So, and that was what we were doing, and that's what the plan was to do again this year. And with COVID and things, the way it hit, couldn't get those regional games. But with the help of Rico and the 82 Chargers, we were able then to kind of bump it up a level and go from a regional tournament to a national championship game where we're going to have, one of the best teams in the Midwest with the 82 Chargers playing one of the best teams out of the South, Southwest with the Crescent City Kings.
Now, Rico, to you, coming out of Cincinnati, it seems as though there is a depth of football talent in that area. What makes Cincinnati an underrated area for football talent?
Well, underrated. I would say underrated because publicity is not nationwide, and there's only one league, excuse me, in Cincinnati. So it's hard really to get publicity out on the young men that we have. There is a lot of talent there. As this year, we had four teams vying to go to the national title. That's uncommon from one area. I'm just talking about Cincinnati. That's just one area. We have four teams going to national titles this year. So the talent is there. I think it's really the notoriety of getting there.
Right. If I can
Now,
speak on that,
go ahead.
the amount of talent in Cincinnati is amazing. I was the commissioner for the Northern Frontier Football League. And even before that, when I was the coach in the AFL, you've got the Kings Comets, that are nationwide, nationwide. And it went on for 20 years. You have the River City Nighthawks, were a team that was unbelievable, Cincinnati Fire. And then, like I said, you had this Tri-State Sharks and the Cincinnati Hawks. They all played for national championships. So I think some of those huge in Cincinnati. I mean, I have some of the best teams I've ever seen have played in Cincinnati. That Tri-State Sharks team, the non-talent legend, is unbelievable.
Now, Coach, to you, what makes the Chargers a team that we should watch? Like, what makes Charger football exciting, thrilling, or what is the foundation of your organization?
I think what makes us exciting is getting young players to come in and understand the system and not to put too much on them and let them have fun, because this is what it's all about. When you don't have them thinking, I think it makes it so exciting because they don't have to think about the play that is out there playing and let whatever come to them naturally, it happens. So I think that's the best thing going for us is we allow them to be them and be aggressive.
Now, PJ, when you look at other national championship games and you look at the circumstances surrounding, there's always something that doesn't seem to either smell right or fit right. How have you been able to keep the Midwest Bowl Series beyond reproach?
You know, I think it's hard because there's so many different factors. You know, there's several organizations that are running national championship games, and I think each one has some merits. You know, whether it's you know, being a super mega league and them holding a national championship, or you know, other organizations like the ones that are down in Florida. You know, I think part of the reason that sometimes it may not smell right is because, let's be honest, you know, funds are an issue. You know, not everybody can get it together and go to a national championship. And I know, as being part of the Lima Warriors, who won two national championships, when even winning in 2007, you know, we had a chance to go down in 2009 and just couldn't get the funds together. I mean, you know, when you're talking about, it's probably a $7,000 endeavor to get your team down there to play and to try to do that year after year after, you know, with players' fees and things like that. That makes it hard. So I think that's why sometimes you get that feeling like, you know, oh, this team shouldn't have made, you know, shouldn't have gone. Why are they going instead of this team? You know, there's extra circumstances. I'm sure everyone would like to play in the national championship. And the truth of the matter is sometimes, you know, those teams that have an excellent record, you know, just don't get that opportunity that year.
Now, Rico, you're making that trip to New Orleans. How do the Chargers travel as a team?
As far as numbers go, we carried a 45-man roster. That's about what we're traveling with. Also, it's usually the end of the season, so if you can afford as a team to go down there, you usually kind of also prepare for the next season, so you probably recruit and bring on extra guys. So you might carry 45 guys during a regular season, and you probably have a percentage of those guys that can't make the trip, but you're getting ready. You got 3 or 4 months to get ready for a national championship, and a couple months after that, you got the season, so you can kind of patch and holes if need be. So that usually works out with travel.
Now, is Coach there?
Yes.
Coach, let me ask you a question. When you prepare your team for a road trip, what is the most important thing you have to impress upon them?
Staying focused, understanding what the task is at hand, understand that this is football and it's 60 minutes. And within that 60 minutes, that's a long time. And just to get them ready also for adversity. Adversity is going to strike. You have adversity on every quarter is how we handle it. So it comes back to the discipline part of playing football is keep it simple and let them go out there, because blocking and tackling win ball games. When you ain't got to think and all you're doing is reacting, it allows you to play freely. So that's how we get prepared, is understanding it's going to be a long battle. You know, you're going to get hit in the mouth. You're going to get some, they're going to get some. But if we can stay together within that 60 minutes and fight to the end.
Now, BJ, when you look at sites for the Bowl Series, what are your criteria for stadiums and cities to host?
You know, I think you want to have a city where people want a vacation. I mean, like I said, this costs a lot of money. And so this is a sort of vacation. I mean, you know, when you go down, you know, your family may be going down with you, things like that. I think you want, you know, someplace where you want to, you know, you're going to do things other than play this football game. You're going to spend a couple days down there, and it's going to eat your vacation money for that year. The other thing is, you know, obviously you want someplace that's, you know, fits both teams, and you want a quality field. You know, I'm happy to say that, you know, we're going to play on a turf field that's beautiful. The best that you can get, it was, you know, just installed a few years ago. And, you know, make it a great experience for the guys, because, like I said, it is a lifetime, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Now, we're going to step out and take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Kings, the city of New Orleans, and pretty much the future for the Chargers and the Midwest Bowl Series. You're listening to the Under the Helmet podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Under the Helmet podcast, Terrence Biggs. You got BJ, Coach, Rico to you. Have you been to New Orleans before? And if not, what is the first thing you're looking forward to outside of the football game?
Bourbon Street.
Fair.
Bourbon Street. Yes, but I've been to New Orleans one other time. That was back in 2018, where we actually played the Crescent City Kings in the Semi-Pro Elite Bowl. Back in 2018, where we won 22-20. So this would be our second time in New Orleans.
Now, Coach, have you been down there? And if so, what are you looking forward to?
Basically, I'm looking forward to good food, being around different people that have different cultures and different tastes. That's what I love. I love traveling. And it's also just a nice place to come visit and something that we look forward to doing every year.
Now, a follow-up for you, Coach. Being from Cincinnati, Cincinnati is famous for Skyline Chili. As someone who is not a fan, tell me on why Skyline Chili is good.
I can't tell you, man, because I don't like Skyline. I think you asked the wrong guy that question. I don't like Skyline, but everybody that comes from out of town seems to like it. I don't. I couldn't tell you.
Rico, are you a fan?
No, I'm a Gold Star fan.
See?
I just can't. It just, it just too much. Now, BJ, to you, when you look at the future of the Midwest Series, has a thought crossed your mind of trying to be the preeminent bowl series as far as being able to nail down a league, like two league champions from the same leagues, or do you look at different leagues too?
That's a good question. It would be great to have a partnership between two leagues to have a national championship. But it's also, again, you know, because teams can't always make it, I think the more leagues that you have out there that are chomping at the bit to make it to your bowl game, that makes it best. And, yeah, you know, this is a competitive game. We all want to be the best. Not, you know, I want the Midwest Bowl Series to be the game where the best teams want to come and play in, and, you know, have that reputation that the best games do, best teams do play here, and that we do host the best bowl game.
Now, Rico, to you, how long do you think that it will take to bring the entire semi-pro world together? Because there are so many championship games in different locations. What is the biggest holdup or the biggest obstacle?
I think the presentation of the game itself, all the things leading up to the game, the flyers, the promo, the broadcast, things like that. You know, in semi-pro, a lot of these guys don't get much out of it, but notoriety. So the more you put those guys on a good stage, and everything ran the right way, and you got two good teams and good football at a good location, a good stadium, I think you reach out to some different regions, people follow through. Just as many teams that may not be able to make a national championship game sometimes, there's even more teams out there that are still searching for somewhere to play a national championship game as well.
Now, one of the things that I look at, Coach, is players – they start at a certain age and then they kind of move on. What's harder for you to do, to release a player or to tell a player that it might be kind of hanging up?
The hardest thing is to tell a player to hang it up because you don't know what's in their heart. You know, they may feel they have a couple of years left, but as a coach, you know when it's time for them to let it go. It's when they really can't protect themselves and they really can't help the team. So I think the hardest part is telling them it's time to quit. It's easy to release someone, but it's harder to tell them that their career is done.
Has there ever been a time, Coach, follow-up question, that you've had to tell a player to hang it up and he may have kept on for another year but actually had a decent last year? Or is it like you knew it was time for him to go and he knew it was time to go and he just kind of went off into sunset?
Both. Because sometimes when you tell a young man something like that, it motivates him. So I think in that situation, the first time, it just motivated him. The second time, they didn't take it as well and came out and played but didn't do anything. So I think it all depends on the individual, how strong-minded they are, how focused they are, and how committed they are to this game and to their craft. That's what it really depends on.
Now, BJ, in the ensuing years, with the Midwest Bowl hopefully taking off, what other cities do you think that would be suitable fits to hosting your championship game?
That's a good question. I guess first, it would be nice that you have a great time down in Louisiana and in New Orleans, and that it's that can be a special place for us. But you know, Florida is always an option. You know, you want to go someplace where again, people want a vacation and where people want to be. You know, I've even thought of Atlanta. But yeah, if you can find a permanent home and make it worthwhile, you know, I think that's a great thing too. You know, don't necessarily think we want to be transient. I think we want to, you know, try to stay in one place. And there's an argument for that also. You know, if you were coming down, if you're a great team and you're coming down every year, do you want, you know, to go to a different location each year? Because, you know, again, it is like vacation. That's something that I'm going to have to do, get some data from the different teams and see what they want. You know, do you want to get to the same place every year, or do you want to move around because you want to see something different?
Now, Rico, to you, as someone from Cincinnati, and my main job is to cover the Las Vegas Raiders. They are headed to Cincinnati and facing the Bengals. What is the one thing that people don't understand about this year's version of the Bengals, and what should the Raiders be looking for?
They're young and hungry. They're young. That's what I think makes the Bengals good this year. I think they're young and hungry, and they played well as a team. I think the talent has caught up with the generation of football for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Follow-up question. Do you think that this version of the Bengals will go further than the Marvin Lewis era version of the Bengals?
That's hard to say. It's looking good right now.
Now, Coach, for you, what is, like, I'm not sure if you're a Bengals fan, but if so, which team do you follow?
I follow both of them. Two guys, my cousin with the Raiders, and then my roommate in college, he coached the defensive line for the Bengals. But I think what makes the difference with the Bengals this year is that they are a second-half team. Normally, years before, if they down in the second half, the game is over with. Now, they have an offense, and they have a belief, and they have a system, and they have a trust in their quarterback that no matter how many points down, they can come back. And that their defense is this year, their front line is getting real good pressure without blitzing. And they playing a bend but don't break defense. And they making the most of the opportunities of the other team when they have turnovers. So that's the difference I see in them this year. And I think that, yes, they can go a little bit further than Marvin Lewis' team because of their discipline. If you know stats, they're the least penalized team in the NFL this year. So the Bengals have an opportunity, and that's real good at playoff time. That's real important to be one of the least penalized teams because that's going to help you in time of need in the fourth quarter during the playoffs.
Follow-up question about Ohio traffic. Is there any town in Ohio that has a worse traffic system than Dayton?
No. Hit the nail right on the head. Well, they're going through a lot of construction up there. So that's why I believe it's so bad up there.
Now, BJ, to you, which NFL teams do you follow?
So I am an Atlanta Falcons fan, But being married to my being married to my wife, though, I end up watching more Browns than Falcons. But it's interesting. I said some points on the Bengals. You know, you're asking like what makes them special. What you want to know? I think Joe Burrow provides that swagger that that teams miss. I think things you got to understand about Cincinnati. You know, and I love Marvin Lewis. You know, we did several coaching clinics with him, and he always treated us with most respect. I think he's a great coach. I think, like I said, Zach Taylor's doing a great job now, too. Things you got to understand about Cincinnati is this, like how far behind the ball they are. First, Cincinnati is one of the few teams, I think there's only like three teams left in the NFL that doesn't have an indoor facility. Okay? Ohio State has an indoor facility. Akron University has an indoor facility. The Cincinnati Bengals do not have an indoor facility. Okay. The other thing is, you know, in this time, you all know, is the Bengals are the cheapest team in the NFL. So the things that they've done this year are pretty amazing.
Now, speaking of the Falcons, BJ, real quick, I got a quick story. A guy who played football with my brother in high school, they went to Weaver High School in Hartford, Connecticut. Played for the Falcons, won the NFL Man of the Year the night before Super Bowl, got arrested for solicitation. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. my Super Bowl memories are not very good.
I remember watching that on TV at safety. I was sitting there watching with my brother. He's like, oh my God, I know him. I went to school with him. Then he pulled out a picture. There they are in pads, standing next to each other. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was what it is.
Yeah, Eugene Robinson. Yes.
Now,
that's an issue. Like, that was the issue with the Bengals on their first Super Bowl. And, you know, that's a cautionary tale. They're going to cut all of these semi-pro teams when they come down and play for bowl games and national championships. Listen, the amount of games I've heard have been wrecked because guys come down there and it's that vacation, it's that vacation vibe. Sometimes they end up being a mess and they're not ready to go on game day. I tell teams to go down 3 to 5 days early to get it out of their system. So then that way they've recovered and they're ready to go for their game.
Exactly. Now, the Midwest Bowl Series AAA National Championship featuring the Crest of the Kings, the Cincinnati A2 Chargers, this Saturday night, Victory Field, 7 o'clock. Tickets are $10. Coach Rico, BJ, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Under Helmet Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Evan.
Appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Under Helmet Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.